You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Autzen Audibles podcast. Spring football about to get underway once again in about a week. So we thought we'd bring on a player from this year's team, Marcus Harper, to help us break it down and talk about his story at Oregon. I guess I should say I'm Eric Scopel and Jared Mack is here as well. Maybe introduce the host.
We're here too. Don't worry. Yeah,
we were just so excited to introduce our guest first. But yes, we do have some other people here along with Marcus. First up, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're out in Miami, which sounds a lot better than where we are right now in rainy Eugene. But thanks so much for coming on here and chopping it up with us for a bit, Marcus.
Man, I appreciate you guys for having me. It's an honor to be on the show. Honored to be on the show in Miami, not in Eugene.
We're going to start with a couple straightforward ones, but just, you've been at Oregon for a long time, and yeah. I don't know if you want to go through your whole journey. I know you've talked about that previously in other platforms, but kind of, What has it meant being in Oregon? Where have you grown maybe as a player, but also as a person? I know you're obviously pretty far away from home, right, out west, but what just walk us through what it's been like.
Yeah. Obviously, so my story, is kind of, I don't say it's kind of the prototypical story. I came in during COVID, so that's not the regular. So I came in during COVID in 20, under Mario Cristobal and his staff. Go through those early seasons, those first 2 years, and not playing, and as a competitor, like, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's like, you want to, you know that you got the capabilities of being a contributing factor to those teams and stuff like that, but it's the process. You got to mature as a player. You got to just grow. Nature of the offensive line position, you just got to just grow and just get a lot bigger, stronger, things of that nature. So that kind of was just the irritation for me naturally, just sitting on those sidelines, right? And then we go to, I was at 22. Obviously, Coach Cristobal's staff move on, go to University of Miami. And then Coach Lennon's staff appears. And that spring, I was like, okay, well, I'm just taking this as my opportunity to show that I can be a contributing factor consistently on this team. And I mean, ever since then, I took that opportunity, never looked back. Had a great spring, had a great fall camp, and then was kind of just waiting for my number to get called. And I wait around, obviously, my first action, some like, real action, was against Georgia. Obviously, for us Ducks fans, it's not a game that we, key to remember, but for me, it was kind of a pivotal moment in my career personally. So I go out there, we go into halftime, and Coach Clem's like, you're about to go in. And I'm like, okay, like, I've been prepared for this. I know I'm capable of, showcasing my talents and things of that nature. And I'm sitting on the sidelines because up until that point, it had been 1,014 days since I had put contributed like meaningful snaps to a team. And naturally, just being out there not having no real, feel of like the college feel and stuff, you get some jitters and stuff. So you got guys like Bo and Alex sitting over here just making sure like I'm all good. They're rallying me up and stuff. And I'll never forget, I look to my left and TJ Bass is sitting there. He's like, just play football. And if anyone knows, he's one of the most like nonchalant like guys or whatever. And then I move on Eastern Washington the next week. I get my first career start. And then, you know, I just continue to start for the Ducks, just going on throughout my career. And yeah, just been manning down that left guard spot for a while now. And obviously just had, I've had great teammates just come through and through in and out of Oregon, from the TJ Bashes to the Steve Jones to the Alex Forsythes, the JPJs. And so, yeah, just all the way lead up into that time. And then I'm looking forward to this season for me to be the next guy off that list, you know, making that transition to the next level and things of that nature. But more importantly, just looking forward to this next season, first and foremost. But yeah, that's kind of my journey in a nutshell. But
just I got a quick follow-up for that one. Was there a game, like, again, you're going against Georgia, was that, like, probably the worst possible game to have against that defensive line to be, like, your first career action?
I mean, wasn't worse. I mean, Coach Landon up in, had done a great job of, like, preparing guys for a moment of that stature. So, for me, it kind of felt like another practice rep. You know, nothing was too – was that much different than what I've been, you know, acclimated to in practice and things. So, yes, because of the caliber of guys, because, you know, this being my first action. But in terms of, like, my familiarity with, like, just the process and things, that how that goes, not too much different, you know. Yeah. It was kind of – he made it as smooth as possible. And then you figure, too, like, I'm around – how long was that line with me before? I think it was maybe like 2 years up until that point. So kind of in the same now. Mm-hmm. That line was together for like 2 years. And so for me to kind of fit into that line and kind of not miss a beat and not be the drop off or not trying to look like the, you know, never be the weak link just because I'm the new kid on the block. It was good to kind of just fit into that that role and kind of just make it a smooth transition. So that was but that was just a heartbreaking game because, like, as your first career start, you don't want it to be a loss in it, especially.
Right.
But for that to be my first college action, I think it kind of set me up for success moving forward.
And now to ask my real question, you mentioned like the transition from Mario to Dan, and a lot of you guys the last 2 years have talked about this family atmosphere that Dan and his staff has brought along, whether it be position coaches, you know, Coach Love in the strength room, whatever the case may be. Do you have a specific moment where, again, I'm not asking you like to compare coaching staffs here, but was there a specific moment where you felt like, you know, this feels different? This does feel like that kind of family aspect, that family mentality. Was there like one moment that kind of stood out in particular?
I don't know. Maybe it was, but it wasn't for some reason. It wasn't on the practice field. I remember there was a moment. It was me, Jeff Boston, and Steve Stevens. Like that's like the core group like I hung out with a lot over like my last like 2 or 3 years, and really just sitting there and realizing that like Jeff's a linebacker, mm-hmm. Steve's a DB, and I'm an old lineman, and kind of just sitting there like we're all like kicking it like we've known each other for like 10 plus years at this point, and that for me was just different. It's just a different feel. Yeah, so for me, it was more so like off the field, like connection. It was just like I'm kicking it with guys that aren't even in my position group, and we're having like, and we're not even talking about football. Like football is like one of the last things that we're talking about right now. We're just literally just sitting up here talking about TV, probably talking about power, snowfall, you know, something of that caliber. But that was like the moment for me, and it was like I said, it wasn't even an in on field scenario.
Did that help, Marcus? Kind of following up with. You know, you hadn't played in a long time before that Georgia game. Coaching change, you're not from this part of the country. Was that family feel, having such good friends on the team, did that help you kind of decide, like, hey, I'm going to stick it out here? Or, well, I mean, because with the ease of the transfer portal, would have been understandable if you put your name in there.
Yeah, that played a part, but that wasn't the biggest reason as to why I did that. I prided myself on not running away from a lot of challenges, and I said this on platforms prior to I said I wasn't going to back away from the challenge and like the monster of like sticking out with one school, right? I take a lot of pride in being, you know, I was told a couple weeks ago, like out of the Mark Cristobal, I guess, era of guys that have stayed at Oregon, it's six, and in my class specifically it's only two. You know, I take a lot of pride in that because it's like that shows a character trait that you can't gain, I feel like, on the football field. You know what I'm saying? That perseverance, that toughness, that like that I don't want to say long suffering, but we can say long suffering for lamest terms, because it's just like, you know, you got to go through like that. You got to go through like a legit process going through that, coming in and not being for my class, at least not one of the highly touted names. You know, you go through that class and you got the Robbie Ashfords, you got the Noel Sewell, the Trey Bensons, the Dante Manis, the Justin Flo. And no one, for lack of a better word, wasn't looking at Marcus Harper as a guy, like a poster child for the 2020 class. And to come here and see a lot of those guys, you know, respectfully, like, you know, either transfer or move on to the next level. And then here you see this guy who just all of a sudden emerges. And it's not like I haven't been here playing ball like the last 2 years. So absolutely, like, as much as it was in the friend and making friends and, you know, that family aspect only helps like deepen the connection here at Oregon. But outside of that, it was very much just about like, look, there's a challenge up ahead, and there are a lot of factors that can help, that can, I guess, affect the overall goal that I wanted to do. But I told myself coming into college, I wasn't going to leave because the situation didn't look how I wanted it to look in the moment. Like, I wasn't going to jump ship when a moment got too hard, because any and everybody has done that and they continue to do it now. I was gonna stick through and kind of go through the fire and kind of come out and seemingly untouched. I guess I'm more than proud of what I look at today as Marcus Harper, the man, Marcus Harper II as a man, and a football player too. Cause like I said, that character trait that I got, that's been kind of molded and curated over the last 5 years, I know for sure that's nothing that you can get on the football field. That's just ingrained in me, like that perseverance. And it just so happens to help me out on the football field.
Well, that patience and perseverance, as you put it, has really paid off, obviously. And you've been a part of two incredibly successful offensive line groups. A lot, you're one of the few constants, by the way, amongst those two groups. I kind of wanted to ask you, you don't have to go too much detail maybe between the differences, but maybe what were the similarities that allowed the 2022 and 2023 offensive lines to be so successful? Because you guys, I think, even with the loss of several guys after 2022, turned in an incredibly impressive, maybe one of the best offensive line groups the program has had in 23.
I think about that a lot too. You have, like I said, that 2022 group, they were like fifth and sixth year guys. I'm pretty sure everyone was like a 6 year guy, if I'm not mistaken. So they're like supreme vets, you know what I'm saying? And we've had the success that we had that year. Just having longevity with offensive lines, like everyone kind of knows everybody. Everyone knows persons to their left, strengths and weaknesses. And again, me being, again, the new kid on the block in that line, my whole goal that year was to be like, look, I'm not going to look like the weak link out on that line, right? And that resulted in, you know, for us, I'm pretty sure we were like one of the fewest in sacks given up that year in 22. I don't know what the number was. And then 23, you come over, new coach, and I'm pretty sure I'm like one of the only guys that's like coming back from that 22 line on the that was a starter onto the 23 line. And then you look at that line, and now with the biggest question mark, now we have all these holes to fill. I think having a similar face and bringing on Coach Terry as our offensive line coach helped a lot, because Coach Terry, me and Coach Terry's relationship has literally mirrored our progress throughout like just football maturation. When he was a GA, I was a freshman, and now to see him as an accomplished coach. And I'm a fifth year senior. It's kind of just it's a great maturation of that process. So you're bringing a familiar face. So he's not a new guy that has to insert all of these different new schemes and stuff like that. You got guys like that were in that room, me, JPJ, and Steve Jones, who know how he coaches, know how he gets down, things of that nature, knows his flow. And then you got some very, very talented young guys that are able to fill those roles. And then the way we practiced and coached at Oregon, I mean, to say that we had that success wasn't a surprise, but us in the O-line room, it just so happened that the rest of the nation was able to catch up and, you know, kind of realize what they were missing out on. But we knew it all along. And to see us continue to pick up where that old O-line left off, is something special. And I guess for us this year to take it to another level, and for me to be a part of that again, for me personally, it's something special because I've been a part of all three lines. You know what I'm saying? I've seen the older, I've been the new kid on the line, and that would be just trying to make really out there, just trying to make sure, you know, not the weak link. And then now I'm the older guy on the line, and I'm looking at some of these younger guys, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I've been a part of like some great lines, like as at Oregon. And again, like I said, I take pride in that for sure.
It seems like this past year specifically, your offensive line group had fun playing football, which is kind of weird. Like, not that offensive lines can't have fun playing football, but you know, it's the nitty gritty of a game. Just how much fun was like playing with Jackson Powers, Johnson, and Stephen Jones last year? Just like guys who are already kind of fun to be around, and then you know, they're also really good at football.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I mean, I don't know how much. But it was fun playing with some fun guys. And I mean, I guess people got to see an insight of like our off the field interactions on the field, you know. It was able to seemingly play. It was able to show up through our play. And I mean, that it's just as a, and to not those guys on that line, but then you go, you got guys like Bucky, Bo, Troy, you know, all these other guys, and they, you know, they made playing a lot more fun because we knew when we were getting on that field, we were getting a touchdown from somebody of that caliber. excuse me. So it made that entire experience a lot of fun. And then you come back after games, and then you're seeing, I guess, the Oregon State game. We got a whole stack of pancakes going on. You getting pancake block of the week, or JPJ getting his 17th pancake block of the week. It was just competitive and it was fun. And again, this year, looking forward to this one, you got basically 99% of those pieces returning with one guy. You know, you got a couple of guys that got to, you know, get replaced, obviously. But same, you got a lot of people that stayed back. And again, to be another piece of staying back and looking like, okay, you're looking around, it's like, okay, now it's, you know, it's my turn to, you know, get a shot at that. It was fun, and it's going to be fun to just kind of see that mature and grow for the season to come.
Marcus, when you ask like a receiver or a running back what their favorite part of the game is, it's like, you know, specific individual, you know, a touchdown maybe a certain type of catch. Is a pancake, like, is that what you guys – is that like the best – is that the best feeling? Like, what is like the best thing you can do as an offensive – like, what feels the best after a play?
Yeah, it's obviously that pancake block. I would say the second feeling would be if you're run blocking and you feel the running back like that whoosh, like that off like your butt or whatever. That's the one feeling that's kind of somewhat seemingly similar to a receiver catching a touchdown or running back getting a touchdown when you know. And I would say I've had some moments like that in my career. One of them would be Washington 2022. It was an inside zone play to the right, and Noah Whittington was back there. And I remember the three tech standing outside, and I climbed to the linebacker, and I got held the line, and I, you know, got the linebacker. And then I just felt – I looked back at the play, and Noah was able to dance through the hole. And then I look at the how he was able to make the touchdown. And I just knew when I was blocking the linebacker, I said, no, he's about to make the touchdown. And – I guess that's the one. Those are the two feelings that kind of would, you know, feel similar to me scoring a touchdown would be those pancake blocks, number one, and like that rush feeling that you get off your butt when a running back is cutting off of you, making a touchdown or making a big game.
How many of you guys in the offensive lineman room go up to Will Stein asking to be like a fullback or like in the 14 personnel? Me. Like how many of you guys?
I don't know how many in the O-line room. I know I'm an advocate for it myself. Where were we at? It was at the Oregon signing day in Eugene event that we had early, I think, in February. And I got asked the same question, too. And I said, is there anything that you want to get put in? And I kind of let it, you know, ran a list off of things to say. Big Mark end around. Big Mark die. Big Mark lead. Honestly, Trips right, Big Mark would be a nice play just to incorporate. Just big Trips right, Big Mark would literally just be for me to get the photo op. Me, Tez, and Trayshawn, that'd be a nice photo op, I think, in my eyes. But yeah, now I put in a request to get these packages put in. Do I think they'll get put in? No. But I mean, I have gone up to them, and, you know, with this Big Mark package. So if it gets put in, we'll see.
Do you wish you guys could touch the football more? I ask because I remember watching Josh obviously caught a touchdown last year. I've enjoyed watching JPJ throw a football because he can throw it like 60 plus yards. I don't know if fans know that. But do you wish, like, the O-line, you guys, like, if there were more opportunities just to make you guys eligible? Because obviously you aren't for 99% of the snaps on the field.
Yeah. I would say yes, but I got a real horror story that I don't think a lot of about me holding the ball. And if you went to home with Flossmore, like, you know, like, my freshman year, like, I broke my ankle the first time I touched the ball. So, for me, I much rather just stick with Trips Wright, Big Mark. Going to running back and trying to get squeezed through the A-gap and not coming out successful, I don't want that no more. So I'm cool with sending this trip to Mark and just sitting out there for the photo op, me personally.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Marcus, you're like a really nice dude, and a lot of the guys in the offensive line are also really nice guys. Like, how do you find your nasty streak? I think that's what I heard Josh Connerly call one time. Like, you guys, again, like, are – always going against another like guy who's just trying to get to the quarterback. Like, you're always hitting somebody. Like, how do you switch on like football mode?
I'm so nice that I have to have an outlet for me to get angry. So that would be the way. So, yeah, I have to release that at some point in time. Football is the way in which I do it. But it makes me so nice off the field because it's just like, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, what a nice character. And I think it's a thing in our O-line room. Nice assholes is what, you know, you never want. And you said it, so I'm doing my part.
when did you first realize that football was the best way to get some of that anger out?
So my freshman year of football, it was my first year playing football, period. So that was in 2016, I think. So 2016, I'm playing Carl Sandburg, and it was like it was a rainy game. I think it was like my first rainy game. And I played left tackle back then, and they had like a tackle pull play. And I think the only assignment was to pull the left tackle and kick out the right defensive end. So I kick out the defensive end, his helmet flies off, whatever. You know, you got to call to get a, not a timeout, but you kind of got to, you know, wait to see, you know, if he's okay and stuff like that. I didn't check on him. But then we go back to the huddle. And everyone's like, who knocked his helmet off? And I'm in the back like, me. And then we go to the next play. So when that happened, I kind of was like, okay, this is a advice where I can, you know, let out all my anger and things of that nature. So trying to create that balance is very hard because there are things off the field sometimes that trigger that response. And so just making sure you stay disciplined and keeping those things like, this is for football only and this is for, you know, off the field stuff.
Marcus, you just kind of talked about your mean streak, but I kind of wanted to go back to your personality and again, your sense of humor and all of those things that come through every time we've interviewed you throughout the past. Where does kind of your personality, people say I remind them a lot of my dad. My dad is who people like say I'm like. Is it similar for you? Is your dad a similar? Did you get that kind of personality from him? Your mom, your siblings? Just kind of walk us through where Marcus came from.
Both my mom and my dad. Honestly, like it's so weird. I get it. My big personality, like if I'm walking the room, I'm gonna just be a big personality. Like that's my dad. Like if you meet Marcus Harper, like. He's like I'm his son. Like you couldn't tell me I'm not his son. Like I said, very big personality. very big personality. And then like my natural humor, I think that's more so my mom. Me and her always like Instagram, I think was the worst thing me and my mom could have got, and TikTok. Like we're always sending each other like TikToks, Instagram reels, just funny memes or skits, anything like that. So I would just say my whole family as a whole is just funny. And I literally just got the perfect blend of it in my dad and my mom. So both my parents, and I think that's rare because most people get like one or the other. And the fact that both of my parents have a sense of humor and comedy, like, it's a recipe for disaster.
And I know you're from Chicago, you're on the West Coast a lot. What are, like, the first things you're excited to do when you head home? Like, food maybe, or things to do? Like, what is it? What jumps out?
Yeah. Honestly, just getting back to food. Food is I always look forward to when I get back home. Not saying West Coast food isn't, it's West Coast food. It's just a different culture. I'm always getting asked on the West Coast about, like, pizza, like Portillo's, like, what's the, like, my favorite pizza spot to go to? What's my favorite, like, just places to go eat? And so I was just kind of just getting back to that food. Back home is always good. But I try not to eat it too much, just because, I got to keep in shape and stuff like that. But yeah, I would just say getting back food, and then just kicking it with some old friends from high school. That's always cool, just to come back home and just sit back with the people that you kind of just grew up with. And so that's always just fun for me, just to go, just sit down and just kick it with my friend, his family, is kind of like basically my godparents, and just, yeah.
So, gonna change the vibe a little bit. I'm gonna go talk more about this year's team, that process, but it all started in the offseason when you and a bunch of other guys came out with those like tweets that you're returning. I can't remember what they were. It's just like the coming home tweets. Can you talk, like, what's the background of that? Like, did all you guys, like, get together with the creative department at Oregon and be like, hey, like, we're gonna send these out, like, one by one? Or was it more like everybody did it, like, more individually?
Everyone kind of did it individually, because everyone has, like, different situations. Obviously, like, you would want everybody to – you want everybody to make the best decision for them. And so, obviously, you want – there's still some guys that we would have wanted back that ended up going to the next level. But the guys that did stay, we knew what we were getting out of the guys that stayed. And that's all that you could ask for. And those guys, when we asked them to stay, like, I know me personally, I wasn't trying to rush anybody. And I wasn't trying to, make anybody force a decision based off of, I guess, my own selfish needs. Making sure that they're making the best decision for them, their family, whatever their situation is. And you let them kind of go through their process naturally. And everyone kind of gave everyone their respected, space to do that. And everyone kind of made it like their own. They made it their own, decision.
What was... Sorry, Eric, I saw you were getting ready there.
You're good.
What was who was the name, or who was the person where you were like you were very excited to see that they were coming back?
Honestly, it was Jeff Bosser and T Ferg, and because I knew a lot of the other, I knew Trayshawn, Tez, Justin, and Ajani were coming back, because everyone, like, I talked prior, but I was with Jeff a lot when he was making his decision on coming back. And Ferg, we knew what valuable asset Ferg brings to the team. And everyone else does too as well. But just Ferg, just like for our tight ends room and just what he means to, like, the offense as a whole. When I saw those two come back, I was like, okay, we really got something, cooking here. Cause, a lot of teams that you looked at are playing in, like, late January, they're very, like, senior oriented, senior dominated. So yeah, to see that we got, a bulk of at least our offense back, that's something special. And then you got a staple piece in Jeff on our defense. It's like, okay, now we got something. We got a lot of great ingredients to this recipe moving forward. So I was, like I said, those two for me, I was real happy when it came to seeing those guys saying that they were coming back.
Marcus, you were such an advocate this past fall for some of your younger teammates, I think especially with Poncho. And I remember you called them over from, we were doing a scrum with you, and you called them over and put it in front of the camera and all of that, because his time is coming and we saw it in the Fiesta Bowl. I'm curious what kind of progress you've seen from him and kind of what does it mean for him to go from a backup to a starter? You've been through that yourself before. And obviously I don't want to say he's anything and set in stone, but if that's what happens, what's the process and how do you think he's coming along?
You just got to come in and just fight every single day. And that's not with him, that's with everybody. You got to come in and compete every day, and then the byproduct of that, it'll show. And to see him kind of understand that concept a lot earlier, it took me, I want to say, maybe like a year and a half to kind of just get familiar with a lot of different just concepts in college football. And him coming in early in spring helped him out a lot, kind of get through all that gray area stuff. And so just again, you just see that maturation throughout the season. And then for him to kind of, you know, fill in that role and fill in that role at the Fiesta Bowl, excuse me, and not miss a beat. Probably shouts out to him, his character, his work ethic and things of that nature. So same thing, you know, just making sure that you're just competing. And I've told him this, make sure you're competing every single day and making sure that they have no choice but to put you on that field. And that's the message. That's sorry to cut you off, Eric, but that's Jared. that's the message I tell all the younger guys too, and whatever that they're doing, just make sure that you give it to where you have no choice. They have no choice but to put you on the field. And the reason I say that, I did it myself. Making sure put yourself in the best position possible, and everything else will kind of will fall into place.
I was going to ask, just what have you seen from some of the newcomers, whether it be one of the true freshmen or one of the transfers? Just what have you seen from some of those guys? Obviously, it's still, you're not out there really hitting yet, so it's kind of tough to tell. But just maybe some of the mentalities for some of these guys that you were just mentioning.
Yeah, they're willing to work, and I think that's such a simple thing, but like you hear a lot of people just aren't willing to work. They're willing to work out one, and then also two. They're willing to listen to any gems that any older guys are willing to drop into their toolbox. And I guess a lot of guys are just reluctant to having that sense of like just leadership, having, being held over them, or accepting the responsibility that they have to uphold on their end too. And I think a lot of the young guys have done a great job of wanting to listen to those gems from older guys like myself, Nashad, Josh, whomever on the O-line. And trying to implement it. Now, they got to hold up their end of the bargain by, implementing it and doing things of that nature. But in terms of asking the right questions, no one has a issue asking the right questions in that room. So that's just the first step. But I'm proud to taking that step early and realizing that Janoris. Janoris Wilson is one of the guys. Janoris and I would say Bryce Bolton are two guys that have done a great job of doing that. Guys no one really look to think about, but those two right there I would say for sure have done a great job of like just asking me and you can see that they're trying to put the puzzle together for themselves, and so a lot of traits that I had at that younger age I kind of see in those two, and so it's good to kind of pass on that knowledge that was passed down to me.
Marcus, this is going to be the last one, and then we'll go ahead and send you off to you can enjoy Miami, which sounds nice right now. Looking out the window here, we talked earlier about the two really successful lines you've been a part of as a starter the last 2 years. We just touched a little bit on this upcoming year. What needs to take place from now till August when you guys start the 24th season to make this group on par or even better than what we've seen the last couple of years?
Right. Obviously, we have a recipe that's worked up here in Eugene, and our part is just to continue to match that and then exceed it. Right. So. This effort continue with day one energy on a daily basis, that hunger to get better and continue to learn and things of that magnitude. And again, like you said, we've had two great years prior, but we still got a lot more to get at. And like I said, just continue to have that same level of energy and intent on a daily basis, work ethic, all those different things, like on a daily basis. And I know once we'll do that, we'll be happy with the results. So just continue to elevate our process and focus on that, and we'll be satisfied with the results at the end of the season.
That is a veteran fifth or sixth year senior answer from Marcus Harper, ladies and gentlemen.
I've had some great wisdom passed down to me. I gotta spew that out. But for sure. It'll be nice to see that at the end of the year.
Hey, we really appreciate you spending time with us. I know we went a little longer than we talked about, Marcus, but thank you so much. And we will look forward to seeing you out there in about a week for the reconvening of spring football practice. And soon you guys get to put the pads on, which I know you're probably looking forward to.
The soft shells, they're cool and stuff, but it's going to be nice to put the pads on in a couple of days. So it'll be good.
All right. Thank you, Marcus Harper.
Thank you, Marcus.
Eric Scopel and Jared Mack, this has been another episode of The Odds and Audibles. Talk to you later, folks.
Peace.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.